You are now listening to the Lexicon Podcast. Now, let the show begin.
Today, we saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Woo! Volume 2.
Yeah, that's right. It's not Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I'm sorry, you're correct. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I apologize. You're right.
Yeah. They say that it's like the rappers or whatever, where the first tape is good and then the second one is shit.
The sophomore album?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which...
You thought it wasn't that good?
No, it was fine. Oh, good. Okay.
I thought you were trying to say it wasn't as good as the first one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No.
Well, before we go
I can't remember it. That's why I'm asking.
Before we go into that, I want to welcome you guys to the Lexicon Podcast. This is episode 26. Welcome. Woo! This is going to be the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 episode. So, before we break into the spoiler section of this podcast, which, heads up, there's going to be pretty much spoilerific because we're going to talk about the whole film and every aspect of it. Real quick, what did you guys like the movie? Did you guys like the movie? No reason, just say liked it or not. Sorry, then.
I liked it. Loved it.
I liked it. Now, if you haven't seen the film yet, you can pause this podcast, come back. Actually, pretty much right after this, we'll be going into spoilers right now. And if you've seen it, of course, stick with us. But before we go continue, I would like to let you guys know, if you guys want to support us financially and get the next episode early, 1 week early to be in exact, you can go to patreon.com/lexiconpodcast. You can check out the rewards there, and then you can check out the tier that lets you check out the episode early on audio version, and there's another one for the video version if you'd like to watch the video instead. They'll both be, you know, available a week early for you guys. If not, though, that's okay. You guys can always catch it at the regular time, which would be Mondays, 8 a.m. And then, of course, share with your friends. Let them know. iTunes, all that jazz. Let's go ahead and jump into Guardians of the Galaxy, guys. And then I'll have, like, an epic breakdown. No, I won't. I don't have time to edit all that. I'm sorry. Plus, I don't know how to do it.
It was all stream of consciousness podcasting.
Basil was asking where was his shout-out.
Who? It was. Lewis. I already told him.
I'm like, dude, it was in the last episode. He's like, what?
At the end of the Kendrick one. Yeah, that means he didn't listen to it.
Yeah, I told him.
That was a long one.
That's a long one. That was a long one. You gotta listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, that was a long one.
But it's there, dude. We put it at the end of the longest one we've had so far because the 5-star on iTunes is definitely worth it.
And I gave your dog a shout out.
Yeah, woo! See? So it's there.
Thank you.
Two shout outs. Your dog and you. Dude, you should be paying for this. All right, so Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 starts off with them finally being known as the Guardians of the Galaxy. The Noble Corps is kind of letting them do their own thing. They're taking bounties in order to protect different sectors of the galaxy itself. So they start off with them protecting batteries or some energy form against like an
alien. Some neurocells and shit.
Neurocells and shit.
Little bunny.
Yeah.
But it starts with them pretty much figuring out how they're going to protect this, and then you see Rocket fixing an audio, you know, like a stereo kind of thing. And then they're like, why are you fixing that right now? Like, and he's like, well, Quill wants his music. And he's
while he works.
Yeah, while he works. It's like, you know, it's his thing. You know, it's the music. Everybody has their own thing. And then they kind of just, all of a sudden, the fight starts. Like, the alien comes in and I don't know where it zooms in. Baby Groot. And he's like, all of a sudden, putting in the jack.
Those are really, really good opening credits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really nice. And then him dancing around, it was so cute.
Because it's crazy because it's so good that you don't even notice them unless you want to look at them. And they're not intrusive, but they're there, so you can notice them right away. But if not, you just focus on Baby Groot dancing.
Yeah.
That's cute. It's the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, if you're a parent, it'll remind you of your little one.
Yeah, it will. It's like, adorable. The moment I saw it and I saw Baby Groot like dancing to the music and not caring like for everything. And then there's like a point where you're almost going to get hit. And like I just think of my kid like all of a sudden like he's dancing or he's like crawling somewhere. And he just like throws himself or it's like, holy hell, dude, like, do you have a death wish? Like, but that's just how kids are. Like, they don't care. They just jump into anything and everything. So I thought that was a lot of fun to see that.
That was cute. It was a nice intro.
It really was.
How was the first one?
What do you mean?
The first one has something like that?
The first one starts with him, and like we see him as a little kid, and then he's talking to his mom, and his mom is on a deathbed, and then
okay, we need to watch it again.
Yeah, and he receives like the mixtape, like in a gift. Obviously, he doesn't open it yet, until he's like outside, like the room, and then he opens it and he pops it because he's listening to music that she gave him, like that she had recommended on a tape party, but then he gets like his own mixtape from her,
okay.
And she like pops it in, and then he has another. Because he has that mixtape already, and then he gets the gift for the Volume 2 mixtape, but he never opens it. He just keeps it.
Oh, okay.
And then he, like, goes outside and he plays the first one, and then the actual stuff starts where she dies, and he runs outside.
Okay.
And then gets taken out.
It's so, kind of coming back.
Yeah. And then this one, again, starts with music. Starts with, you know, Baby Root, like, still enjoying the music, but then this time it's him them defending what they're doing as far as the Bounty kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, you know, one of the big things about film, this film is movie, is a... One of the big things about this film, sorry, I'm tired. One of the big things about this film is music.
Yep.
You know, especially from the first one coming to the second one, the mixtape and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. The first one was very action-packed, and as far as very, very upbeat music, this one had a lot of more mellow selection music. What did you guys think of the music in general, like as far as the tones throughout the whole film?
All the music that was played had something to do with the scene. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of underlying meaning.
Oh, well, the first one was very upbeat. Even if you actually download the soundtrack, it's nothing but upbeat. This one's probably going to be a little bit of a twist of more slower. Kind of music that hits you.
It like resonates with you, yeah. As far as like the
and then they use that Fleetwood Mac song like a couple times throughout the movie.
Yeah, they were trying to make it the central theme, kind of like the in the Can't Stop This Feeling from the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one, everybody's
it's a good song.
Food, you know, kind of.
Yeah, it's a good song. There's nothing wrong with it. It did kind of go with the theme.
It's not a single.
Yeah.
Like, the other one, like, you know when people put out albums, they both put out the single, like, that everybody can remember? That's a radio hit.
Yeah.
The first one had that radio hit. This one, it didn't. It's a more, I guess if you want to talk about it in a way, the first one had a great selection of a mix, but this one was, like, a complete album.
It was a theme.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was an overall theme.
Like, you listen to it from the back in order to get the whole aspect of it. Like, if you try to pick and choose, you don't really get anything out of it. The first one, you can pick and choose, and then you get something, like, great out of it. But this one, it's like, you gotta listen to the whole complete package in order to get the story.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, again, sophomore album, but trying to be more intellectual. Not, you know, trying to just, hey, I can rap, or I can do my bits, or
It was good, and then I liked the moments where there was a lot of action going on, and happy songs were in the background, like, playing against the action.
Mm-hmm.
I like it when that happens.
I do too.
It's really nice. It makes you focus a little bit more, actually, because you want to know what's going on.
And then, because you're like, why is the music... Uh-huh. You kind of start thinking about why is the music playing or whatever. And then sometimes when it's contract, it's cool too, because you're like, okay, that's funny. Like, you're playing against stuff or whatever. Then, what did you guys think of the characters, though? This time, we had not regular Groot. We had Baby Groot, who was still, by the way, voiced by Vin Diesel. Which was funny because I'm like, did they use like some kind of machine or did
they? I know. I'm pretty sure he did, and they just adjusted it. Is it really?
Yeah, and then they had teenage Groot at the end of the film.
Oh, typical teenager.
Yeah, that's funny. Like he's dirty. You know,
in the video game,
tripping
over
all your vines.
Like not even caring. Like whatever, dude. Get out of my room. Which I thought was cool. Like, cause I thought when I first saw Baby Groot, I thought he was gonna be just a tiny Groot, like still old. Like, but no, he's like actual kid.
I know.
Baby, which is really, really fun.
I don't know. Is the comic book like that?
I have no
idea. You have no idea? Okay. Because I'm wondering, like, what if he's actually is the small guy with that big group personality?
Yeah.
I wonder how that would have played out if that were.
Yeah, so Guardians of the Galaxy for a lot of people, it's kind of still, it's really unknown.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, when the first one came out after that, everybody kind of knows what they are and they want to read the comics. Or those who are really into it obviously read all the trades and everything for Marvel. These are one of the ones I've never read.
Yeah.
Like,
when they announced it, everyone was like, why are they doing Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, because it's kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then you have Chris Pratt, who's never really been a star. And in fact, he's been part of a great cast where he's a lead,
mm-hmm.
but he's not the main lead. You know, he's more of a supporting lead.
Yeah.
And this, as far as TV shows and stuff like that with physical comedy, but this time he's an actual star.
Yeah, he carries.
So it's like kind of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy first, then Jurassic?
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's after Guardians, they do the thing where, they do the thing in movies that they do in music as well. Like, somebody does the test, and obviously during that time, everybody starts talking to each other, like, oh, he did great here.
Oh, yeah.
His music is great or whatever. Like, you should put him on your album or you should put him in your next movie. So the first one comes out and then they see the reception, like, oh my God, it's great reception. Put everything else out that he did. You know, so like, for example, Chance the Rapper, you know, we talked about him before. He had obviously his acid rap album that everybody said, you know, really good critically acclaimed. Mm-hmm. They start recording stuff with him. They see a hit. Kanye comes out, brings him out on his thing. His album pops. All of a sudden, everybody else is like, okay, we have his music in the vault. Release it.
Oh, I see.
You see the name Chance, you want to see it. So Chris Pratt was that. They had Guardians, and then Guardians was great. Everybody loves Chris. All of a sudden, you see him everywhere. Jurassic Park. You see him in the movie now, last year with Jennifer Lawrence.
And Passengers?
The Passengers. So, like, now he's billable.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what they do. Like, that's what they always do a lot.
You know, they were talking about having him replace Indiana Jones? Well, replace Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones.
I mean, it makes sense. He's already doing Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
So it's like, he can play that role.
Harrison Ford was like, so long as I'm alive, I'm still going to be Indiana Jones.
Well, because I don't know. Everybody thinks he's going to die right away in Blade Runner. Because they run 2049.
Yeah. With another Star Wars.
With Gosling.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, he's probably going to die in that too.
You think so?
I mean,
have you seen Blade Runner?
Yes.
Okay, I need to rewatch it. Because I don't remember it. Yeah.
I mean,
I know like the overall story and stuff, but I can't remember it well enough to go see it.
Yeah.
But again, I didn't remember
it. For those of you guys who never seen Blade Runner or you haven't seen it in a while, the only reason I say rewatch it is because the story is not that memorable because it's such an old film. So, go watch it.
It's a dystopian society.
Yeah.
It's set in LA, right?
No. It's, I believe, Tokyo, Japan? Something like that.
Shit.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a future LA. Or am I confusing? Ah, that's Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was like, no.
Yeah.
Because you can tell because it's like the whole smog on top of the billboard, mm-hmm. and then she comes out and it's Asian culture everywhere,
tight.
I believe. So, Blade Runner 2049. Is 2049, I believe, or 2045? I don't know. One of those two
if
numbers.
We hit 2049 or 2045 and it doesn't look like that.
So. And then that's right, honestly. So then, that's Chris Pratt, the Jurassic Park, and then they're talking about him obviously doing Indiana Jones. Because, he's billable. He's not a bad
person. I don't see it as a bad thing. But I just wish Harrison Ford would, like, stop. No way, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. So, but what about the other cast of characters? I know you had, obviously, you had Gamora. Drax was talking a lot more this time. He was like,
I liked
him. Focused.
Yeah. I kind of wanted that in the first movie, from what I remember. Because I can't really remember that damn fucking movie. But I remember liking him and thinking that I really liked him as a character and why he didn't talk that much. And then this movie, he gets to talk a lot. He laughs a lot. And you get to see a lot of his dry-ass fucking humor.
Which is
and
the
I
best.
Think that's why I like it so much. Because he's so dry and so on point with the delivery that he's just like, I'm just talking about my ass, but it's my mouth, so.
Yeah. He doesn't care. He's like, whatever.
Yeah. It's so cute. His interaction with the Manta Ray, that's her name, right? Manta Ray? Mm-hmm. Fucking antenna girl is so cute.
Yeah. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
That was the best. What do you think of the characters? Like, obviously you see Chris Pratt coming back, but like, what do you think of Drax? Because I asked you because you have those dad jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Dry humor.
I know.
You.
I am Drax.
Oh my God, stop it.
Our group, you know. I don't know. He's funny. Just funny. His emotions came out, you know, with the little mantis thing and, you know, showing, you know, like, hey, you know, you're feeling sad.
Yeah, when someone talks about his daughter and his wife.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can tell that really damaged him, which is probably the reason why he doesn't mind taking the risk of killing himself.
Yeah.
Well, his whole thing, his whole story is that he wants to kill Thanos because Thanos is part of the reason why his wife and daughter died.
Mm-hmm.
So he stops at nothing until he's able to kill Thanos.
Mm-hmm. Besides Avengers, I think it was Avengers, are we ever going to see Thanos?
Thanos?
Yeah. I say Thanos because of Ivan.
I always forget whether it's Thanos or Thanos or whatever. Or
yeah.
Thanos or whatever. Thanos, as some people call it. I guess you can say yes and no because he'll come out, but I'm not sure when they're going to put the main fight.
Yeah, right?
With him
okay.
Yeah,
I wanted to make sure that I would have my Marvel history correct because there's so much.
Yeah,
because there's been so much Marvel. I can only remember seeing him on the screen once.
Yeah, because I don't want to, and it was at the end credits and stuff like that, or end of the film. And then, so there's the next Thor movie,
mm-hmm.
but the thing is they haven't excuse me, they haven't actually titled it because they say it's a spoiler.
Oh, really?
What's going on? Yeah. So there's a Civil War, obviously, what's going on, and there's going to be, everybody's assuming it's going to be Infinity War, which, like, you know, they're gems and stones, and that's when they really fight Thanos, because that's when he comes in, like, to try to fight and everything. So everybody's assuming that's what's going to happen, like, after Civil War, and then, then the actual next one's going to be the Infinity War, and then, you know, Thor and all that stuff. So that's when everybody assumes it's going to happen with the Avengers, because the Guardians guy is supposed to come into it. So it's going to be, like, a huge-ass cast.
That's fucking crazy. Fucking Marvel.
Yeah. So they already started filming, because, like, there was a teaser with Spider-Man and Robert Downey Jr. And Chris Pratt was there, too.
Yeah.
So obviously they already have that. So that's when everybody assumes you're going to fight Thanos, and it's going to be in that, the next Civil War, or the next Avengers film. Because
I just like how measly Spider-Man looked in that little clip.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he so just looks like such a small little teenager, like, F out of here, like, you're gonna get yourself killed.
Yeah, technically, like, you know, him being Spider-Man, he is a teenager, he is a kid. Technically, he's supposed to, like, be starting college or whatever. Depending, obviously, on which one you're reading.
To all you college people out there that are just starting off thinking you guys have a voice, you're Spider-Man.
Yeah, pretty much. Just don't fight the, you know, Green Goblin.
Don't fight the Green Goblin.
Lose your girlfriend, like,
before
keep
yourself on your feet. Be aware of the sticky web. Things happen.
Yeah. Don't go to Batman because he will turn you into something else.
We have enough fans, thanks.
My friends posted a picture of a black car. I don't know, one of those beefy looking black cars.
Okay.
And in the back, like, the license plate was Batman.
Oh my god.
The sticker was Batman.
Are you friends with Justin Bieber? Because remember, he turned his car into Batmobile.
Well, he's a shitmobile. What are you talking about?
I think it was a Lamborghini, like modeling and all that stuff.
There's one down Florence that has thing that says Soy Batman. It's on like a blue Charger. Remember?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you say, by the way.
Yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, I've seen it. And I remember, like, oh, that's a good one. No, she would have came up with that shit.
There's a, like, a Latin band or something called Chicano Batman or something.
Yeah, they're pretty good. We're going to see them at FYF, huh?
Yeah. Saturday.
Fuck yeah.
Next Saturday?
No. Whenever FYF is.
Oh, okay.
In July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They have a Tiny Desk concert on NPR right now.
I've seen it. It's, like, you look at them and you're like, beaches and gifts.
Anywho.
But they're good, yeah. And again, this all revolves around pop culture, and it's huge, you know. Like with Guardians coming out, obviously it was packed in there. The people in front of us in a show.
Oh yeah, we were early morning show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we were like a 10 a.m. show.
Like they told us we couldn't even have alcohol yet. So
yeah,
that's how early it was.
Well, they told energy.
Yeah.
Or they told the energy, remember?
No, they. I thought they did serve alcohol since they whip up some iced coffee in the front. I think you're able to drink within that little perimeter, and then if you need to take it inside, they probably tell you, like, no.
Well, I don't know, because I don't know if it's the last time when you drank early, también, but I don't know if it was, like, 10:30 or 11 already.
Yeah, they told us until 10:30, and we were like, well, we're already going to be in the movie, so guess we ain't drinking.
Can you guys, like, bring it to me?
Room service.
I was a little bit annoyed because the seats that I wanted weren't available.
Yeah.
But then when we got there, they didn't show up, and I kind of wanted to move forward, but I was like, that's kind of rude, blah, 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 whatever. But in my head, I had a coral dilemma because I really wanted to sit in my seats, which are putting my foot up the rail and all that stuff.
See, for me, I'm the total opposite. I'm all the way the fuck at the top.
I like that. The sound is great. The view is pretty good. It's not amazing.
It's your sheltered seat.
More in the middle. Yeah.
Okay.
But the best thing is the sound. Like, the sound and the relaxation there is one of the best ones for me.
I just like to be able to see everybody.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know.
I need to be like, I need to know how many people there are. I don't mind it, but I do prefer the top. And that way, no one kicks your fucking seat. Fucking hate that shit.
Luckily, they don't really do that there.
Theater is the reason why I started moving up.
Toward it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, I've never had it happen to me.
People must not like me. So.
I don't know. They see here, like, oh, she's a Batman fan kicker.
Yeah.
this is a Marvel film. Hating. Get out, DC fan. Yeah, because speaking of, like, you know, again, pop culture, the trailer came out for, like, the Inhumans as well, and the thing is, like, nobody really knows what the hell that is.
What is that?
So it's supposed to be, like, another, like, Mutant/Guardians of the Galaxy spinout. Like, not a spinout,
the
but, like,
Valerian one?
The one where...
The one with Cara Delevingne?
I don't know. No.
What are you talking about?
Talking about DC, like, show called it, mm-hmm. The Inhumans.
Oh! Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that's coming out. So it's kind of like their, like, older, like, outside reference. Not obviously not the Guardians, but it's kind of like their obscure team.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're also going to be coming out with that show. And everybody's like, this looks really tacky.
You knew about the NBC show?
Sure. I
forgot the name of it. Legends
of Tomorrow or whatever? No, TBS.
No, there was another one. About the people who handle all the destruction from superhero fighting, and I can't remember if it's.
Oh yeah. No, I think that's DC.
That one got canceled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one's DC.
Because it wasn't on the CW.
Oh yeah, CW is the one that handles everything. They're the ones who handle Legends of Tomorrow, Flash.
Supergirl,
that's them. I tried watching Supergirl. I cannot.
Yeah, I tried too, and I couldn't.
Flash
couldn't
is
watch
good.
It.
I like Flash.
Flash is okay, like, I'll catch it whenever it's on.
Kevin Smith's done a few episodes,
yeah.
I think so. And he's also, well, he's directed Supergirl.
He guessed just recently, yeah.
Yeah, so, but Flash is good, I like it. Sorry, we diverged from it.
See, it's just comic book world.
Yeah, it's just what it is. By the way, you guys, it's a little bit late, but today is Free Comic Book Day, so happy Free Comic Book Day. Sorry,
yes.
That is going to be later on, but... Every first Saturday.
Your calendar for next year.
Every first Saturday of May, Free Comic Book Day. So just put it in there for you guys. Obviously, you go check out your local shop, support them and everything, get your free comic books, but also buy something.
Yep.
So what about Gamora? And then obviously her whole story with Nebula, her sister. It's like a lot different this time than before. Before they were fighting each other, but this time they kind of
had to come together.
Finally had an understanding. And then it's just because they hate their dad.
Well, I mean, you kind of have to hate something in order to unite.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah. It's just like, it's your sibling. You always have problems with your brother, your sister, your...
Yeah, man. Somebody can poke her eye out.
Yeah.
No. Her dad took
her
it
dad.
Out.
Oh, the dad?
And her brain.
And her brain.
And her leg. Or arm.
Because with machine. Yeah,
yeah.
Arm.
See, I can't remember the first movie.
They don't have
No, I know, but like, I can't remember their relationship in the first movie.
Oh, they're both vying for... They're both on the next, like, Thanos, whatever. And then they're both vying for him. So he sends them out for him to go get the first Infinity Stone. Oh,
mm-hmm.
And they're both going after him. And, like...
And that's when they all meet up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's trying to prove that she's better than her by, you know, being the first one to get there and others doing the same thing. So it's always, like, a constant one-up, like, who's the better...
Well, I actually, going back to, now that I have that backstory now, I like the fact that her relationship with her sister was highlighted because it was that way her and Peter's, Star-Lord's relationship was put to the side.
Which is cool, I like that.
Which is fine, because that can always wait, and they kind of poke fun of that in the movie about, oh, you know, we're like the relationship that never happens in that TV show, but that's why you keep watching. So we can't really get together because then
the ratings are going to go down.
And that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for not getting together. Like, it's kind of cool that the sisters are able to solve something or at least come to a different light of it. Instead of trying to kill each other and hate each other, they're like, okay, I get you. You get me. Okay, whatever. But there's still that little bit of, I see you. I know what you can do.
All right, sorry about that, guys. So, again, if you guys saw a random cut, the audio messed up and the computer froze. So, I'll try to do the camera audio or this audio. So, just bear with me, but I'll try to get the best.
Our $100 computer pros.
Stop.
What is that?
I don't know what she's trying to say. It happens. Anyway, as I was saying, Gamora and Nebula. We talked about, Angie already, of course, said that it was... It's a lot better seeing their relationship in the background as far as, you know, Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
So with her obviously becoming the thing, did you guys think that at any point she was actually going to actually kill Rocket or betray them? Especially when she was telling Groot to let her go and Groot was kind of like,
oh yeah,
I don't know, I'm a little kid.
Well, I mean, that's the reason why she did it, because she knows that a little kid doesn't know any better. A little kid's not going to catch up to whatever it is that she's trying to do. So, yes, it looked like she was going to probably go after them no matter what. Like, hey, here's this little kid. Like, he could open this for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, ever since the beginning of the film, I kind of saw her, like, kind of remorseful when her sister picked her up. And instead of, obviously, like, killing her or whatever, she was like, I'm going to just turn you in for money, you know, for the bounty or whatever. And then you could see her kind of talking to her, like, don't get rid of me. Like, just let me go or whatever. Let me be free. Kind of, like, have some pity on me. And then when they kind of don't do anything to her and they still have her there, and they haven't really turned her in or anything because of the fact that they get chased because of
I thought Rocket. That she was going to betray them up until the scene where it's obviously her as asking Groot to like let her go. Up until then, I was like, oh, I see what she's gonna, I know what she's gonna do, because what's his face, Rocket was in trouble. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when I was like, I get it. She's not gonna betray them.
Yeah, when she hit Rocket, like when she shot him, it's like, okay, I know you're shooting him. You didn't kill him. Uh-huh. You're just trying to make it seem like you're hurting him in mm-hmm. order to, you know, not get hurt yourself, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Playing the long con, as they call it.
I liked her.
Yeah,
she was a good character.
This film was all about relationships, though, right? It's like what it is. Kind of like setting it up for you to understand different, like how everybody feels. Obviously, how we figure out and we see how Rocket feels towards the end. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Yondu comes back and we find out why it is that he actually ended up keeping Peter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you touched on the fact that, you know, Gamora and Peter Quill are Star-Lord. Yeah. Are having a relationship that they don't really talk about. Mm-hmm.
You know, ratings the thing. Unspoken thing.
Yeah, the unspoken thing. And obviously they have the whole dance thing, the mm-hmm. dance scene and everything. Yeah. But what do you guys think of the main relationship? You know, Peter and his dad. Before, obviously, he ends up becoming the ultimate evil of the film. Obviously, you kind of see that happening. Like, oh, he's going to be the one that fights him. Especially when Manta Ray.
Yeah.
Or as Harry Potter would put it. okay. When she tells Drax, like, it's something I got to tell you.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, so he's the ultimate evil. He's the baddie of the film. Like, what did you guys think of the relationship, though, before that, though? Seeing Peter finally, like, find his dad and, like, stuff like that. What was going through your head when you saw that?
Daddy stopped paying child support, so he came around to pick up. The moment you saw him go in and help them out in their time of need, and eventually, you know, go after them. Yeah, he was searching for his son, but you could tell there was some evil. You don't call yourself a god without having an agenda behind it.
And then, I mean, his name kind of gave it away. Up until the movie that we saw it, I didn't know what Kurt Russell's name was going to be. So when he said, oh, my name's Ego, so I'm like, fuck you, dude.
Ego. Wow.
I know. Like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. And when they finally went to his planet, I was like, oh, I hate this guy.
Really?
Right, I hate him. Yeah. But yeah, I was like, this fool. And then especially when Peter, because he's Peter, he's not Star-Lord there. He's not wearing his little mask. Tells him, like, well, why'd you leave my mom and me then? I was like, got a point, bruh. Always hesitate.
He had a pretty good excuse, though. He's like, I had to come back, or if not, the planet would have died without me.
Yeah, sure.
I was like, damn, this bro knows, went for a pack of cigarettes, never came back.
Oh, and then the fact that he would lie and tell people that his dad was David Hasselhoff. Oh, that God. Was good.
I did not expect that.
I didn't expect that. That shit was so funny. You know, like, you remember that the story you told me about? You and that horse? And he was like, what? No, that was my dad in a car.
The talking horse?
The talking...
No, the talking car. Fucking Knight Rider. I was like, oh my God, David Hasselhoff and Knight Rider.
That was funny. Good.
And his little cameo, too, was spot on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, spoilers. David Hasselhoff comes out in one part of the film. Which is like, he comes out technically two times, because he comes out at the end of the credits as well. At one part, dancing, whatever. But it's funny because, like, you see all of a sudden Star-Lord, like, later on, he actually pulls out a picture and it's David Hasselhoff. And the thing, like, he actually still carries it with him. I don't know why.
Exactly. It's like your hopes of someday knowing who your father is.
Yeah, but
to you, your father is that one, David Hasselhoff. The only thing I can think about him is when he was in SpongeBob and he uses his pecs.
Yeah.
To launch SpongeBob and Patrick across the ocean.
I forgot he was in that stupid film.
Oh, jeez.
Fucking Hasselhoff, man. What great film has he been on? So I thought that was great. The relationship, though, when they saw it happening, I was like, fuck, like, he's finally, like, meeting his dad. And then they start playing catch.
And stupid little energy ball, whatever the fuck it is. That's what I told Luis when it happened. I was like, these motherfuckers going to pick catch. And sure enough, he started throwing the ball.
It's funny because the music again starts and they slow it down. And then they start like throwing catch. And then suddenly it just goes in slow motion, like him catching the ball and throwing it. I was like, dude, that's hilarious. They're making fun of the fact that obviously, like, it's a dad relationship. Mm-hmm. It's what everybody always wants. Like, when the people who don't have fathers, unfortunately, like, that's what they want. They want people to play catch.
Yeah.
Which is true. Our son is just about to turn one, and that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, he does.
He wants to play catch.
He just, like, throws the balls at us, and, like, we throw it at him. He's like, oh. Mm-hmm. The good thing is I'm trying to get him to use both hands.
No, but that's bad, because he had a car, little toy car in one hand, and a ball in the other, and he threw both of them at me.
I think that was a good
idea. I'm like, you
fucking kid. Like, you're gonna hurt somebody one day, my love.
You know what they say, work smarter, not harder. So threw both.
And if they ask, what'd you throw? I threw the ball.
Oh my god.
Depends on what hit. What hit? I didn't throw that one. So yeah, it's like, yeah, we're teaching our, like, our kid. He just started throwing it on his own. And then, but I'm getting him, like, every once in a while, like, he'll be throwing it with his right hand. And then I'll just get the ball switched to the left hand after, like, five times. And I'll just get it and switch it to his right hand. He's always like.
Oh, God. He's going to be so confused.
No, because, like, he starts throwing it with one hand. And then I switch to the other. And he's like. And he just starts throwing. Like, after, like, 2 seconds, he's like, okay. And he just starts throwing with the other hand. So I'm getting used to both. The other day, I was picking him up. And he was, like, kicking with the right foot. And then I made him start kicking with the left foot. I'm just making him, like, ambidextrous. Like, having to use both. If he ever becomes like a professional sports player, it's always
going to be. Yeah, it's always going
to
be.
You could always call David Hasselhoff to help
an advantage.
No, he's going to make him a car guy.
Oh my God.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider?
Yeah.
Soy Knight Rider.
That's a good one. Soy Knight Rider. But overall, like, I think the movie plot wasn't like super sophisticated, super mm-hmm. awesome. It was all about relationships and about redemption. Obviously, again, we mentioned also. The dad being the ultimate evil at the end, how he is refers to himself as a god, he's a celestial being, and then Peter, or we don't really call him Star-Lord like you mentioned because yeah. he doesn't have his mask, but mostly everybody calls him Peter.
The whole time, they don't really, he pretty much refers himself as that way.
Yeah, like he didn't take, like in the first film he's like trying to show off, and this one he's like, okay, I'm already there, like I don't need to. Mm-hmm. So then we have Yondu coming back into it. Obviously, later on his ship gets mutinied because of the fact that he's turning soft.
Yeah.
Against mm-hmm. Peter, but people don't realize why he's really like that with Peter. Mm-hmm. And then we slowly start realizing that Peter's dad is actually murders his children.
Yeah.
In order to become a greater being, which is like insane because it's kind of like an old like Seuss reference when he used to kill his half kids because he didn't like having half kids and stuff like that, like the Greek gods and all that. And then you see him, like, going to different, like, the part where they start showing him with all these different, like, female aliens and whatever.
His little, like, gallery of what the shit he's done. It's a little weird.
My favorite one's where he's, like, being carried by them. And at one point, he's, like, kissing them, but he's, like, being, they're the ones.
There's one, did you see the one where it looks like Medusa?
Yeah.
That one with the hair all the way. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
And she's the one that was, like, at the bottom right corner carrying him. Yeah. There's one where he has, like, his legs around her and then kissing like that. And I was like, this is the funniest
shit. It was funny. You got to catch him, but there's so many couples going on at the same time. It's so funny.
It's like having a family in Tijuana and then having another one here in the U.S. and then having one in freaking Puerto Rico and
Canada.
That's what he did.
He went from planet to planet planting his little seed.
Yeah,
little flower.
Just everywhere he goes, he was trying to, you know, he's trying to manifest his he's trying to get everywhere.
Was it the Navy, the one that back in the days, the baby boomers?
I don't know. They were just baby boomers because of the military men coming back from war.
Well, I mean, because they were going all over the place having.
I mean, they were having kids, and like a lot of kids happened in
Vietnam. He was busting a baby boom. Yeah, his own baby boom.
Yeah.
And he was trying to use her power to make himself become a bigger celestial being so he can actually take over all the planets.
Yeah.
And kind of control them. So I that was like freaking crazy how he killed his own kids for that. But then again, like I said, we hear about Yondu and him. Realizing that even though he was bringing kids to him, which was against the code because you don't go against children, like against the Ravager code, and he was kind of, you know, he was exiled because of that. The fact that he then realizes that what was going to happen to Peter and he stops and he doesn't take Peter over there was like, holy shit, like, dude, you did the right thing. Like, you know, he would have died if it wasn't for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they both use the excuse of, hey, he was skinnier and small, so it's easier to be a thief with. But, you know, tough guys never really want to show their emotions and all that stuff. But that's why I realized he's always been so soft against Peter and why he has a soft spot for him. And then he tells Rocket the same thing. He's like, this is how I was with my friends or my Ravagers.
Yeah.
They saved me and I ended up being an asshole. And then I drew them away. And then Rocket's like, oh, shit, that's what I'm doing to my friends.
Yeah.
And then that was like, okay, that's the heartfelt moment of this film. Like, mm-hmm. That's like them, redemption and everything. Did you guys at any point think that any more, like, you saw all the people there all of a sudden that joined the ship, the guy that kind of started the mutiny and then regretted it with Yondu, and then obviously the antenna girl, they end up kind of becoming Guardians of the Galaxy in a way, like kind of part of the crew. Did you guys expect that? Or did you guys expect them to kind of like
I didn't expect him to be considered part of the crew.
Yeah, which is like crazy, you know?
Yeah. So, I don't know how much of a role they'll have when another film comes out.
Yeah.
So,
I think the one guy who kind of started the Muni, he's going to just have cameo kind of things.
Yeah.
He's not really a big part of it. The love interest, obviously, you see, is going to become the antenna growing Drax. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. She's becoming the love interest.
She's horrifying.
Disgusting.
I just thinking about being physical with her.
I like a girl with more meat.
Hey, everybody has different, you know, everybody has different things that they're into, different body types and all that. Obviously, he realizes, though, she is beautiful on the inside.
Yeah.
So, you know, we won't ruin all the jokes. That's there.
Yeah, for you to watch. They're really good. They're funny.
And then, you know, the fact that she finally was able to kind of put him to sleep by saying that, you know, he's like, I believed in you, even though I never thought you could do it. But, like, the fact that she actually does that and puts him to sleep and gives him enough time was, I think, pretty crazy.
Yeah. She like, pivotal like, without her. Who knows what else would have happened.
But it starts making you think, like, dude, you're fucking powerful for, like, just the, like...
For being a weird little alien chick?
Against, a god, like, a celestial god thing? Like, you're able to control him like that? Yeah. That is insane.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how powerful she is, and I don't know how, like, much power she's going to have in the next film. I'm looking forward to seeing her stuff. Plus, her humor, too, is pretty dry because she doesn't understand anything else.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't understand emotions or anything. Like, she knows what emotions are because of her power.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't, like, understand how, like... That's pretty crazy. Did you guys have any, like, overall thoughts of everything before we talk about the actual funeral and everything?
No, not really. I think that all the relationships that were being touched on for the plot of the movie had enough screen time. I would have been, yeah, you know what? I would have been a little bit more. I would have wanted more out of it if they'd only touched on them and never went back to them. But like the entire ending up until the funeral, it's all tied together. Everything gets kind of everything gets squared away. Not so much, you know, done and forgotten. That's the end of that story. But everything gets kind of put in its own ending.
I just like the fact that in the end or towards the end, they always get a quick shot of a 360 around the whole group.
Yeah, like, you do that,
huh? Yeah, like the
at
whole...
At the end of those movies, of all the Marvel movies.
Like, all of you guys are united to kill that one person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the Power Rangers effect. Like, when the Power Rangers used to all get together, like, back to back to back to protect all angles and all that.
Yeah. Are we going to touch on the mama tumor?
Yeah. So, like, we're going to go... So, you know, you brought it up right now, but... So, but then we end up finding out how he becomes the ultimate evil. And I guess for Peter, that is realizing that he is the purpose that, his mom died.
Yep.
Because he put the brain tumor in his mom's head. So for him, that's no excuse. Like, you just killed my mother. You're the reason for it. So you're gonna go down. And obviously, everything happens. They start fighting him and everything. And then Yondu comes in and like tells him, hey, this is what happened. And then we have what I thought was one of the best scenes in Yondu, like... escaping from the jail cell and then killing everything around him with the whistle.
Like, that's like super arrow. Darth Lord
scene. He's like super badass because that thing went through anything and everything.
It was so funny.
Like it's going through walls.
I'm telling you, I've forgotten about his character. So when that started happening, I was like, oh, that's the whistle dude. I like this dude. I forgot about it.
I mentioned it to you guys, like when we're leaving the theater, obviously, we're talking. Like that scene when he starts killing everything and then the music starts, like the first thought in my head was... Tarantino having a Guardians of the Galaxy film and that aspect of the fight scene, the killing, and the music, because that's all his thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be great. But then you said...
Oh, yeah. Quentin Tarantino's not going to do that because he has beef with Disney.
Which is I had forgotten about.
Yeah.
Until you mentioned it. And I was like, once he said it, I was like, duh.
Yeah, of course it's not going to happen.
Of course he does, of all people. Like, the 70mm guy is the one who fights Disney. But... Then I was like, you know what? If I had my wish, I would still want him to have a Yondu origin story directed by
Quentin Tarantino. That'd be perfect. And then we were talking about having Star-Lord be a kid. That'd be cute.
The music going, his
don't they have
things,
a little boy?
Him like that.
Chris Pratt and his lady?
I don't know. I think so.
Oh, yeah. Alana Faris?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you're saying he can play it.
He can play the little boy. Yeah. That'd be so cute.
I did not think of that. That's actually good. Like, the casting is already pretty much set. I mean, they already have the little boy that was pretty much in the camp. Like, he came out, like, a short few
seconds. The beginning of the first one.
Yeah, so they can use him as well again. And but yeah, like, I would love to see that. Like Quentin Tarantino, Yondu, like, origin story. Mm-hmm. Like, the music, him killing the dry humor jokes, and obviously him being, like, a total douchebag asshole. Like, yeah. It's just, like...
That's perfect.
Tarantino at the max right there. But obviously, like you said...
It'll be a good anti-hero story.
Yeah. And I think that would be a good offset for something that is not straight-up Marvel's, like, just... All their superheroes, like all of a sudden you have like the bad guy that in the end, obviously, once you see Guardian Volume 2, he turns out to be a good guy.
Yeah.
And then if you see his story, you're like, okay, he's a good guy overall in the end, you know. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was great. But
it reminds me of what's it called? Harry Potter?
Why?
Because of
Snape?
Snape, yeah, how in the end, during this whole time, he was just protecting Harry Potter.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. You were such an asshole, but it's only because you were protecting.
Yeah, he's always being a dick to Harry. The one who died, Alan Rickman.
Okay. I think I know. I get it.
Rest in peace, Alan Rickman. Yeah. Yeah, so the Snape story is he's always been a dick to him, and, you know, kind of the way Yondu said, I'm going to eat you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that was a joke. And he's like, oh, I don't know that. He's like, not to me. Well, Snape is always like an asshole to Harry, but he's kind of protecting him, you know, saying he's always, you know, you got to have the ground rules guy, and he was the ground rules guy.
Yeah, the dad.
Yeah, and then later on in the story, he ends up killing Dumbledore, but the reason he kills him is because Malfoy was supposed to do it. So in order for Malfoy not to go through with killing somebody, like Snape did it for him, because then, you know, it's a kid killing another person he's never killed before. He's trying to prove that he's evil, but he can't really do it because he's not, like, deep down inside. So Snape does it for him so he doesn't feel like he betrayed the Dark Lord. And then obviously later on, it comes out that Dumbledore told Snape, hey, if it ever comes to it, you kill me. Like,
that's we're cool.
Yeah, okay. Like, I understand who you are. And then after that, we realized that he also was in love with Harry's dad. Like, Harry's mom.
His dad. His mom. Like,
with Harry's mom. Like, to the point where there's a thing called, it's like when the Death Eaters come in and you it's a powerful spell that they do. Like, they release, like, an animal. And it's like, there's, like, different ones. And then his is the doe, which is representative of Lily. So it's like a whole convoluted story of, like... I, your dad was your mom. We, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, I never betrayed her. All that stuff. I was always protecting them. So it's like a whole crazy thing. So it's pretty much Yondu. Like, obviously, he doesn't love Peter's mom.
He's that role. But and what he kind of says it too at the end when he's like, that man might have been your father, but I'm your daddy.
Yeah, like, that was the best part. Yeah. I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
Freaking waterworks. Like, you fucking assholes made me cry.
Yeah.
And then we come to the end of the film. And obviously, you see at the beginning,
they all die.
This became more Yondu's story than anything else. Obviously, we see Peter in relation with that, but then we see Yondu's redemption. And then he was exiled, like I said, by the Ravagers. But now he ends up having the funeral. They obviously, Rocket tells all the Ravagers, hey, like, you know, yeah, this is what he down. Did. Funeral. And then they all appear out of nowhere and for the Ravager funeral. And even the minion or like the guy that started Muni, he was like, holy shit, like that's my captain, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah. He gets all excited. Well, he cheers, but like because everyone shows up and he's not gonna die alone.
Yeah. And then Rocket's the same way. He's like he realizes like, oh shit, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. Like these are my friends. I think it would have been badass if like Rocket or like Star-Lord would have been like my captain. Like and then did that. I would have been like, oh my god, that would've been great. I would have just been like, okay, this film is like so self-aware anyway. This would have made it even better. Obviously, because they do all the references to, you know, 80s films and stuff.
Like even
that.
Cheers, like how many people are going to understand the Cheers reference? I barely get it.
What are you doing? Oh.
The Pac-Man, that was good.
Yeah, Pac-Man references and Pac-Man appears.
Yeah.
We'll say that. There's already enough spoilers.
I know that. Hey, we said it was a spoiler. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to go through it as minimally as I can, as you can tell, instead of like in depth, because of the fact that, you know, obviously there's a lot of spoilers everywhere. So, but yeah, like him, like
we won't spoil the end credits.
Yeah, the end credits were
and there's
more
than one, so stay for the whole thing.
And then obviously the funeral happens, and then the ending happens, and then we see that the people who hired them at the beginning all of a sudden end up becoming the new evil. For the next film. So overall, Guardians of the Galaxy, now that we've talked openly about it, like what are your final thoughts on the actual film? Would you guys recommend people watch it or wait for it for a DVD?
No, I say go watch it. It's action packed, there's good stories, multiple stories. You're not gonna get bored. And if you've never seen the first one, go watch it because I still enjoyed it. I saw the first one. I don't remember it at all.
But it's good.
It's really good. I wasn't lost enough for me to be like, fuck, like I really should have seen the first one. Not at all. It's fine.
That was really good overall. It's true. If you haven't seen the first one and you go watch this one, you're not going to feel like you missed out on anything. Just all in all, go watch it in the theater because you're going to want to hear the music, the background, the action. You're going to want to see it in a big screen. It's one of those good movies. Okay to bring your kids.
Oh, yeah. It's funny that way, too.
It's not dirty and they don't cuss.
They do. A lot. Yeah, but it's not.
It's not noticeable.
Yeah, it's not noticeable. It's not.
There's a big cheer moment in the theater. Like some cheer moments. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you hear it. So that atmosphere is always good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It reinforces the experience. Yeah.
So overall, Guardians of the Galaxy was good. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was good. Go ahead and watch it. If you haven't seen the first one, I always recommend watching it. It's really good. It's a lot different from a lot of Marvel films. It's more upbeat, more fun, more loose, more self-aware, which is always like, you know, if you're able to pull that off, it's always good. But as always, guys, I always like to give our, you know, all the co-hosts some place where you can find them online. So go ahead and...
If you too want me to be distracted by you on Snapchat, you can follow me on Snapchat at Angie_Ness. That's ANGIE_NESS.
You can find me on Instagram under Liz_TheBiz.
And you can find me on Twitter at @XubsV_Lex. That's usually where I'm most active. As always, guys, you want to support us financially. You want to make sure my computers and all my stuff doesn't mess up so I can get a mixer. Just kidding. Go to patreon.com/lexiconpodcast. You guys can support us there financially. Like I said, you guys can start getting the episodes 1 week early, you know, by choosing the tier. If not, it's okay. You don't have to support us financially. Share it with your friends. Let them know. If you're on iTunes, please leave a 5-star review. We'd definitely appreciate it. And as always, guys, thank you guys for watching. It's been the Lexicon Podcast. Take care.